ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् थर्ड कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 14. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज क्वेश्चंस बाय विदुरा. इति ऊचिबां तत्र सुयोधनेन प्रवृद्ध कोप स्फुरिताधरेण अशत् कृतः सत् स्पृहानिया शीलः शक्ता शकर्णानुज सौबलेन. इत्तु चिवांस्तत्र सुयोधनेन प्रवृद्ध कोप स्फुरिताधरेण अशत्कृता सत्त्व स्पृहनीयशील त्या शकर्णानुज सौबलेन. इत्तु चिवांस्तत्र सुयोधनेन प्रवृद्ध कोप स्फुरिताधरेण असत्कृता सत् स्पृहनीयशील क्षत्ता सकर्णानुज सौबलेन. इत्तु चिवांस्तत्र सुयोधनेन प्रवृद्ध कोप स्फुरिताधरेण अशत्कृता सत् स्पृहनीयशील क्षत्या सकर्णानुज सौबलेन. इत्तु चिवांस्तत्र सुयोधनेन कोप स्फुरिताधरेण प्रवृद्ध कोप स्फुरिताधरेण अशत्कृतः सत् स्पृहनीयशील
تجيز. Iti, thus, Uchiban, while speaking, Tatra, there, Sujodhanena, by Duryodhan, Prabriddha, swelling with, Kopa, anger, Sphurita, flapping, Adharena, lips, Asatkritaha, insulted, Sat, respectable, Sprihaniya Shila, desirable qualities, Kshatta, Vidura, Sa, with, Karna, Karna, Anuja, younger brothers, Sobalena, with Shakuni. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhan, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhan was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle, Shakuni. Please repeat after me. While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhan, who was swollen with anger, and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhan was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle, Shakuni. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that giving good counsel to a foolish person causes the fool to become angry, just as feeding milk to a snake only increases its venomous poison. Saint Vidura was so honorable that his character was looked up to be by all respectable persons. But Duryodhan was so foolish that he dared to insult Vidura. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni, his maternal uncle, as well as with his friend Karna, who has always encouraged Duryodhan in his nefarious acts. Ittu chibangs tatra suyodhanena prabriddha kopa spurita dharena ashat krita sat sprihani ashila kshatta sakarna nujaso valena. While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhan, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhan was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle, Shakuni. So, Shukadeva Goswami is describing what happened just before the battle of Kurukshetra. Everyone tried to stop this battle, including even Krishna. But Duryodhan did not agree or Duryodhan did not listen to those good advices. Duryodhan was evil personified. It has been described that Duryodhan is the incarnation of Kali. And who is Kali? Kali Yuga, the leader or the controller of the age of Kali, is the personality of Kali. He is actually quarrel personified. Another name, another meaning of the word Kali is quarrel. Kalaha. And Kali is the son of envy and anger, hingsha and krodh. Kali is the son of these two personalities, the personified envy and personified anger. And we can see, you know, where is quarrel? Quarrel is a result of envy and anger. When people become envious and become angry, then they fight, then they quarrel. So Mahabharata is depicting that very beautifully. So what lesson do we learn from that? Mahabharata is giving a very, very vivid description of what happened between Kauravas and Pandavas. Although they are the two branches of the same family, and very illustrious family, Kuru dynasty. Many illustrious kings adorned that dynasty. But now these two branches of the same family started to fight with each other. We can see how the fight, how the root of this fight goes even further back. It goes to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was also an illustrious personality, born out of an illustrious parentage. Dhritarashtra's, although he hailed from this family, Kuru, not only he hailed from this illustrious Kuru family, but he was actually the son of Vasudev. And his mother, Ambika, is an incarnation of Devi, Durga. Such illustrious personality. The son of Durga Devi and incarnation of Durga Devi and from Vasudev. But we see that he was blind from his childhood. From his birth, he's blind. He's born blind. Although he is the elder brother, although he is the eldest of the line of the of that family line, but he is blind. And here also we see yet another wonderful lesson that how the child becomes affected by the nature of the mother, the mood of the mother. Vasudev came to procreate in order to maintain the family line. The family line would have otherwise been lost. Both Vichitravirya and Chitrangada died. Vichitravirya died out of the Vichitravirya died out of phthisis, tuberculosis. And Chitrangad died fighting with the Jakshas. Now we can even go back, we can see that how, anyway, let us make this point first. Bichitravirya and Chitrangada both died at a young age, and although Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. He died at a young age, and there was no one in the family to continue the line. Now the royal heritage, the royal line must continue with the success. So that's why in the Vedic culture there is so much importance given to the male children. Because the male child actually carries the family line. Male child not only carries the family line, he also delivers the father and the forefathers of the family. Pindo dako kriya. These activities, pinda and offering water to the forefathers, causes the deliverance to the departed souls. In the previous verse also, it has been pointed out, Duryodhan has been pointed out that although he is an apatya, the word apatya means one who delivers from falling down. The son delivers the father, protects the father from falling down, patan. Therefore these two expressions in Sanskrit, for son, one is apatya and the other is putra. Putra means one who delivers the father from a hell called pun. So that's why he is punat trayati iti putra. He delivers the father from falling down to the punnarak. That's why he is putra. And apatya, one who protects the father from falling down to the hell, to the hellish condition. So son actually delivers, and the son actually maintains the family line. So it was important that they have a son, they have someone to continue the family line, and this is the illustrious family of royal lineage. Rulers who had been hailing the dynasty that is hailing from the Chandra Vamsa, from moon god himself, Somdev. Mahabharata describes all that very in details, how how the line started from the moon god, and it continued through Pururabha, Urvashi, Jajati, Dushyanta, Shakuntala, Bharat, King Bharat was born. So it's a history, actually, history of India. Now, the line is about to be destroyed. Line is about to come to an end. Bichitravirya, both the members of the family died. Bichitravirya, Chitrangad, both have died. Two sons of King Shantanu. The only person who is alive is Bhishma. So Bhishma has taken a vow of not getting married. Bhishma had taken a vow of a lifelong celibacy. Akumar brahmacharya. He has taken a vow of celibacy. And that also, in order to enable his stepmother to get married to his father, and the stepmother's father had a condition that her son should become the king. So this is how we can see the irony of destiny. We want something, but destiny arranges things to happen in some other way. So Bhishma took a vow that he will become the life. Actually, the Dhivar Raj, in order to his father, Shantanu, became attracted to this extremely beautiful daughter who was the daughter of a Dhivararaj, fisherman's king, the king of the fishermen. So the king of the fishermen, when Shantanu approached the king of the fishermen in order to marry his daughter Satyavati, the king of the fishermen said, "Well, it's my great good fortune that an illustrious king like yourself wants to become my son-in-law, wants to marry my daughter. But you see, I have a desire that my daughter's son should become the king." And Shantanu said that, "Look, I already have a son, and he is already coronated as the crown prince. And he is the eldest of the family, eldest in the line, so he is the natural successor to the throne." But then this leader of the fishermen said, "Then I'm sorry, you can't get married to this daughter of mine." So Shantanu went back. Now Bhishma could recognize that something happened. At that time his name was not Bhishma as yet. He was Satyavrata. So when he found out, he inquired what happened. And then he found out that his father wanted to marry this girl, but he couldn't because her father had a condition. So he asked, "What's the condition? What was the condition?" And he was told by the chariot driver who was present there that this is what happened, that he wanted that her son should become the king. But your father declined. His father said, "Your father said that you are the successor to the throne, so he can't marry her with that condition that her son would become the king." So Bhishma then went and he met this Dhivararaj, the king of the fishermen, and Bhishma told that, "Look, I am relinquishing my claim over the throne." But the fisherman's, this person, Satyavati's father, was a very crafty person. So he said, "Fine, you may relinquish your claim to the throne, but what about your children? And a family, there will be a family fight. Because your children will fight with my grandchildren." Then Bhishma said, "Okay, if that is your anxiety, then I'm taking a vow that I will never get married." And it was such a terrible vow to maintain lifelong celibacy, especially for a kshatriya. Kshatriya's bodies are very passionate. For a person who is in the mode of goodness, to maintain celibacy is not that difficult. But for a kshatriya who is in the mode of passion, for him to maintain celibacy is very difficult. So it was such a terrible vow that being a Kshatriya and such a powerful personality, he has taken a vow of lifelong celibacy. The demigods started to express their astonishment by this exclamation. What a terrible vow he has taken, Bhishma, Bhishma. And that's how he actually got the name Bhishma. Now we can see this father of this lady, Satyavati, wanted so much that his grandson should become the king. And with that condition, he got his daughter married to Shantanu. And he made Bhishma to take this vow that he would maintain a lifelong celibacy. But what happened in the course of destiny? His both the grandchildren, Chitrangad and Vichitravirja, both are dead. And his wife, Vichitravirja, was married to two girls, Ambika and Ambalika, the two daughters of Kashiraj, the king of Kashi. But now they also, they are widowed without any issue, without any children. And now the whole dynasty is about to be come to an end. No successor to the throne. Satyavati appealed to Bhishma that please, you get married. First proposal was, you get married. Bhishma said, I have taken a vow not to get married. Then she said, okay, then you procreate in the field of these two sisters-in-law. Because in the Vedic culture, in other ages, it was authorized that if the brother died without having a children, then the brother-in-law could procreate in the womb of the wife of the brother. Devarena sutatpatti. That custom is called, and Devara means brother-in-law, the husband's brother. And sutotpatti, procreation, producing children, when the husband dies by the brother-in-law is authorized according to the Vedic culture. But that has been forbidden in the age of Kali. Five things have been forbidden in the age of Kali. Ashramedham, Gavalabdham, Sanyasa Palapotrikam, Devarena Sutatpatti, Kalupancha Vibarjayet. These five things have been Vibarjayet, forbidden. What are those? Ashramedh sacrifice, Ashramedham, Gavalabdham, Gomedh, Ashwamedh, Gomedh, Sannyas. Sannyas, one may, often when I say that, sometimes they ask, but Maharaja, how come you are a sannyasi? Prabhupada has introduced sannyas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced sannyas in our sampradaya. But this sannyas is three-dandi sannyas. What has been forbidden is ekadandi sannyas. Ekadanda sannyas has been forbidden, the kind of sannyas through which one tries to attain liberation. But tridanda sannyas is a sannyas of offering body, mind and words, these three aspects in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is not forbidden. So sannyas palapautrikam. Palapaitrikam. Pal means meat. offering meat in the Shraddha of the forefathers. That was also authorized in other ages, because by sacrifice the meat used to be sanctified, and that meat was offered to the forefathers. But in the age of Kali, that has been forbidden. Sannasa and Palapaitrikam and Devarena Sutatpatti. The procreation through the Devar, the brother-in-law, has been forbidden. But in Dwapar Yuga, it was authorized, and that's why Satyavati requested Bhishma that he should procreate children in the womb of his sisters-in-law, Ambika and Ambarika. Bhishma declined. He said, no, I can't break my vow. Satyavati insisted that, look, it's for my sake that you have taken the vow, and now I am requesting you. So, and it is for the sake of maintaining the family line. But Bhishma declined. Then Satyavati told about her other son, Vasudeva. Then Bhishma agreed, so then call him. And Vasudeva told Satyavati that whenever she wanted, whenever she remembered, he would just appear there. So Satyavati remembered Vas, invited Vas to come, and as a result of that, Vas appeared there, and Satyavati requested. And so Vas agreed, but when he met with Ambika, Ambika was frightened to see this fierce appearance of Vasudeva, the extremely powerful personality. His complexion was like monsoon cloud. His head was filled with matted hair, and he was a radiant personality with his spiritual prowess. And she, out of fear, closed her eyes. So when Vasudeva came out of the room, Satyavati very eagerly asked, is everything all right? Vasudeva said, yes, it's all right. And a son will be born with the strength of 10,000 elephants. But he'll be blind because she closed her eyes. Then Satyavati requested that, please have another son. So Ambalika was asked to meet with Vasudeva. And she didn't close her eyes out of fear, but her face became pale out of fear. And so Vasudeva declared that this son will be extremely powerful, extremely virtuous, but his bodily complexion will be pale. And then she requested to have another requested him to have another son. And this time they, Ambika and Ambalika, were afraid to face him, so they sent a maidservant, a beautiful young maidservant. And as a result of that, Vidura was born. So these were the three sons of Vasudeva to maintain the family line of the Kuru dynasty. So Pandu was an extremely powerful personality, extremely virtuous, extremely noble. He was ruling the kingdom with expertise of Indra. He was powerful as an Indra, wise as Brihaspati. And he was expert in everything. But unfortunately he was cursed that when he would embrace his wife, he would die. So Pandu retired. He didn't come here, come back home, come back to the palace. He just went to the mountains, Himalayan mountain, Badrikashram, Badrinath, high up in the Himalayas. He was residing, he already took Banaprastha, sort of, and he was residing with the sages in that holy place in the Himalayas. But unfortunately, one day, before that, he could not procreate children, so Kunti told him that she could invite the demigods and have children through them. So first they got Dharmaraj, Jamaraj to come. And as a result of that, Yudhishthira was born. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai. Then Pavandev was invited, and as a result of that, Bhima was born. Then Indra was invited, and Arjun was born. And the other wife, Madri, Kunti gave her that mantra also that she received from Durvasa when she was a little girl. And Madri invited the Ashwini Kumars, the twin. And as a result of that, she gave birth to Nakul and Sahadev. So in this way, five Pandavas were born. But when they were young, one day Pandu lost his resolve due to the influence of the springtime, when the whole nature becomes so beautiful. The gentle breeze blows, carrying the fragrance of flowers. And that season actually has a very strong influence on the living entities, especially human beings. And Pandu lost control over himself. He completely forgot about the curse. And when he embraced Madri, he died. So Madri entered into the fire, the funeral pyre, and became Sahamrita. She also left her body to accompany Pandu. Kunti remained to take care of these five children, and Kunti and the children were brought to the palace of Hastinapur. The sages brought them and introduced them, that children of Pandu. Now Dhritarashtra, although he was the elder of the two brothers, but he was blind, therefore he couldn't become a king. He had the desire, he had a burning desire to become a king. He couldn't become a king. He had a hope that maybe his son would become the king. But before Duryodhan was born, Yudhishthira Maharaj was born. So as a result of that, Yudhishthira became the natural successor to the throne. And so that was another disappointment for Dhritarashtra. The name also is very, very significant here. Dhritarashtra. Rashtra means kingdom. And Dhrita means one who tries to hold on to his kingdom.
He is blind, but he is so passionate. He is so eager to become the king. Therefore, when Pandavas were brought, Dhritarashtra became extremely disappointed. He thought that, okay, Pandu has left, and now his son will become the king. But unfortunately, for him, Pandu's son was older than his son, so he became the natural successor to the throne, Yudhishthira Maharaj. But he didn't mind it as long as they were away, but when they were brought to the palace, although externally Dhritarashtra showed so much affection for them, and he lamented, he repented, he bereaved for his brother's demise, but internally he was burning with envy. So Vidura actually told him, once Dhritarashtra was complaining that, look, I can't sleep. Vidura, do something, I can't sleep. And Vidura told him that one cannot sleep because of five factors. And he said, not that you cannot sleep now. You have stopped sleeping. You cannot sleep since the Pandavas are brought to the palace. The day the five sons of Pandu were brought to the palace, since that time you cannot sleep. Due to your anxiety, due to your intense desire that your son would become the king, you haven't been able to sleep. Your mental peace has been taken away, has been stolen. And Dhritarashtra always supported Duryodhan in his evil plots. He tried to poison Bhima. He tried to burn them along with Kunti in a house of Shalak. And Dhritarashtra approved. He is the one who actually supported that, and he made that happen. Everybody could understand that the Pandavas were actually being sent out in exile. When Dhritarashtra actually being provoked by Duryodhan that these Pandavas should go to Varanavat, please tell them that it's such a nice place, Varanavat. There, even the demigods like to come and stay there. So you go and have a good time there, have a break, have a nice time there. But although he and Yudhishthira Maharaj knew that they are being sent out in exile, but he couldn't do anything because they were in power, and evil-minded Duryodhan was behind all that. So Yudhishthira accepted that. Okay, fine, we'll go. Dhritarashtra, in a hypocritical way, expressed his good wishes, but internally he had this evil plan. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also understood that it was a ploy to actually get rid of them. But he didn't say anything. But the people, especially wise people, they knew what was happening. And they were cursing Dhritarashtra, that this blind, envious person, instead of protecting the children of his dead brother, look how he is behaving with them, sending them out in exile. And at that time Vidura actually told Yudhishthira Maharaj in a indirect way, using the language of the mlechas, so that this is what's going to happen. He pointed out that when there is fire, to protect oneself, if one is in a hole, and if it burns on top, then the fire will not affect them. And so in this way, he indicated, he gave some other indications also, and Yudhishthir Maharaj could understand what was being told. And Vidura asked, "So did you understand?" And Yudhishthir Maharaj said, "Yes, I did understand." So he indicated that this house that has been built there for your residence is made of inflammable objects, shellac. And the way to protect yourself, you dig a hole, a tunnel out of that place. And that is how you should escape. And then Vidura sent a person who could dig a tunnel, expert tunnel digger. And the Pandavas, during the day, they used to be awake as if everything is normal, and at night they used to dig the tunnel out of the place. And when the tunnel was complete, they set the house on fire themselves and ran away from there. And everyone thought that the Pandavas died along with Kunti. So, actually that night, a Nishada woman came to came to the house, and her children ate so much and drank so much that they fell asleep. So when the Pandavas escaped, they got burnt, along with the minister of Duryodhan, Purochan, who was actually the person who made all these treacherous arrangements. He also got burnt. So in this way, they tried to kill the Pandavas. But Krishna always protected the Pandavas. And Vidura had been always giving the good counsel to Dhritarashtra, that do not become affected, do not become influenced by your evil-minded son, Duryodhana. Come to your senses, be on the path of virtue and righteousness. The Pandavas, they are actually situated on the path of dharma, and your children are on the path of adharma. So get rid of your children, don't side with this evil-minded Duryodhana, don't support him, but rather support the Pandavas. And when he advised Dhritarashtra, then Duryodhana became angry and he started to insult. And that is what has been pointed out, and Prabhupada in his purport is saying that good advice, an evil-minded person cannot listen to good advice. A fool cannot listen to good counsel because he's a fool. He doesn't know what will be. A fool is a person who doesn't understand what is good for him and what's bad for him. And Duryodhana is a perfect example of a fool. He didn't know what was for his real benefit. Time and time again he had been told that if you side with the Pandavas, then you'll become so powerful that you can easily rule over the world without any obstacle. So why not make truce with them? Why not join hands with them? Give them half of the kingdom that belongs to them, and you will remain a king, they'll remain a king, and together you can become so powerful. But Duryodhana was so envious that he did not want to give them even 5 villages. That was the ultimate condition. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "Look, give us 5 villages. Because a Kshatriya has to be independent. A Brahmana maintains himself by patan patan, jajan jajan, by teaching and by worshipping the deities, performing different types of religious activities. That's how a Brahman maintains himself. A kshatriya maintains himself by ruling over a piece of land. Vaishya maintains himself by trading. And Sudra maintains himself by accepting the job from somebody else. So that's why as a kshatriya, their dharma demanded that they have some land. They didn't want half of the kingdom. They said, give us just 5 villages. But Duryodhan refused to even give that. And the result was the battle became imminent. And here he is insulting Vidura. The next verse will describe how he started to insult Vidura. And Vidura left the palace and he went on a pilgrimage. So, very wise thing to do. Vidura didn't want to be there to see the family being destroyed. The slaughter of so many illustrious members of the family. Actually, all the kings of this world were slaughtered in that battle by Krishna's arrangement. In order to establish dharma, when adharma became prevalent, Krishna had to make this arrangement. He came to get rid of these demoniac rulers. So he came, he personally took care of Kamsa and his associates. And then finally he made this arrangement. All the impious, sinful rulers were brought together and in one go they all were slaughtered. In 18 days, the earth practically became bereft of Kshatriya kings. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes. The girl in a family, the sons take the same gotra. The daughters do not take the gotra of the father. Daughter takes the gotra, the lineage of the husband. Therefore, the children born from that mother carries the family line. This is one consideration. Yeah, so that is why they are called Kshetraja Putra. When for some reason husband cannot procreate, the wife can be impregnated by, made pregnant by somebody according to the rules of the scriptures. Like when the brother dies, when somebody dies, then his brother can procreate in the field of that, his wife. Similarly, demigods can procreate if it's possible, as was the case of the Pandavas. And it has been also pointed out that in some way, at the time of marriage, the bride also gets married to the demigods. That point has been very nicely explained through that incident when Jamunacharya was challenged by this pandit called Kolahal. So Kolahal became exhausted. He could not ask any more questions. Jamunacharya answered all his questions. Then he asked Jamunacharya to ask questions. At that time Jamunacharya was only 8 years old. So Jamunacharya said that, I'm not going to ask you any question. I'll make only 3 statements. And you refute those 3 statements. You nullify those, refute those statements. And one of the statements, he made 3 statements anyway. First statement was that your mother is barren. Now the question is like to defeat, no, your mother is not barren. To defeat that point, he had to say that his mother is barren. So if his mother is barren, then how can he be born? So he, then the other one was, the queen is the epitome of virtue. Right? Epitome of chastity. So, in order to defeat that, in order to refute that, he had to say that the queen is unchaste. And anyway, so then when he could not, then he told the king, look, how can I, you know, say a thing like that? Your wife is unchaste. Look, I mean, and if he cannot prove that, if he cannot justify that, then he should be punished. He was telling about Jamunacharya. And Jamunacharya's answer was that although the queen is the most chaste and most virtuous woman, but at the time of marriage, a woman gets married to the demigods also. So although she is married to the king, she has other husbands. And that's how, you know, although she is completely chaste, but she is also unchaste. Okay, what's your second question? Cow sacrifice. Okay, okay. Prabhupada actually mentions that quite a few times in his purports. That the purpose of this yajna sacrifice was not to slaughter the animal, but either sacrifice was made after the performance of the sacrifice is to see whether the sacrifice has been properly performed. And as a result of that sacrifice, the animal would either get elevated to a human form, or elevated to the heavenly planet, or get a young body. So if an old cow gets a young body, what's the harm? So this sacrifice was not a matter of slaughtering the animal, but to give a new life to the animal as a result of that sacrifice. Okay, so I will... Okay, the last question, because we have other classes also. How so?
How come Ekadandas and Yasus tolerate it previously? Is that Tridandas and Yasus also there?
Oh, Ekadanda. Okay, yeah. So, no, go ahead. I couldn't... Ekadanda Sannas, yeah. Go ahead, yeah. What was your question?
So, my question is that Ekadanda Sannas is forbidden in Kaliyuga.
Yeah.
Shankaracharya preached Madhavan in Kaliyuga. So, how is it that previous it is?
Yeah, so he actually came to establish something. Ashat-shastram, Mayavadam Ashat-shastram. So he came to establish something that is temporary, to establish certain mission, to achieve certain purpose. So it's not, because Shankaracharya introduced that doesn't mean that to begin with he actually created a disturbance by doing that. So Mayavad is a disturbance, Ekadanda Sannyas introduced by him was a disturbance.
My question is that prior to the events of Shankaracharya, was Ekadanda Sannyas prominent?
Yeah, sure. In other words, when they would take Sannyas, you see, devotional service was not that prevalent in other ages. Direct devotional service. It was given only to some rare individuals. Direct devotional service. But otherwise, they would be elevated gradually. And when those days, when they would take sannyas, they would generally take Ekadanda sannyas. Because since devotion was not prevalent, devotional service was a secret. It was not commonly practiced, or it was not commonly distributed. That's why the sannyas, according to the devotional service, was also not prevalent. Generally, when people took sannyas, it was ekadanda sannyas, impersonal, to merge into sajjaja mukti. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.